I feel like these issues that were 150 years ago still reflect our nation, our First Nations communities. Good and honorable gentlemen, be not offended for what we say. We wish to please you, but your men had not enough land. They came and they killed our men and took from us our country. You have taken from us our land and our trees and have destroyed our game. The moose yards of our fathers, where are they now? Now white man kill the moose and leave their flesh in the woods to rot. You have put ships and steamboats upon the rivers and they scare away the fish. You have made dams cross rivers so that the salmon cannot go up, and your laws will not allow us to spear them. In old times, our wigwams stood in the pleasant places along the riversides. These are now all taken from us, and we are told to go away. Upon our old camping places, you have built towns, and the graves of our forefathers have been broken by the plow. Even the ash and the maple are growing scarce. We have been told to cut no trees upon the farmer's ground. The land you have given to us are taken away every year. Before you came, we had no sickness. Now the smallpox, measles, and fever destroy our people. The rum sold to them makes them drunk, and they perish. They learn wickedness that our old people have never heard of. We were never in a worse condition than when you began to give us aid. We still suffer for clothes and vitals. We cannot sell our baskets and other work. The times are so hard. All your people say they wish to do us good, and they sometimes give. But give a beggar a dinner, and he's still a beggar. We don't like to beg. As our game and our fish are nearly gone, and we cannot sell the articles we make, we have resolved to make farms. We will get our people to make farms, build houses and barns, raise grain, feed cattle, and get knowledge. Some have already begun. What more can we say? We will ask our queen to help. We beg your honorable house to help us in our distress, and at last we may be able to help ourselves. And that was written the 8th of February, 1849, and these issues still ricochet today and will continue in the future until something is done here.
Scott Barber, you were born a white man.
Yeah, I was born not only a white man, but I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I'm a WASP.
You have a lot of solidarity for the Indigenous movement in Halifax. Do you want to talk about how you came to that?
Well, When I was living in Toronto with my son's mother, we came out on a walk that was about environmental and the people who lived on those on the land in the environment. And the people who sponsored the walk originally happened to be people from the people of the Dawn here, and the Mi'kmaq people were our hosts. And I was so graciously welcomed and enthusiastically welcomed that I was very impressed, and I began to learn a lot as I walked along, as well as having the opportunity to teach people about what was happening at Cigar Lake Uranium Mine. And then during the walk, this is so the personal part of it, is that during the walk we found out that my son was on the way. And so we decided that we didn't want our son to be brought up in Toronto, and the elder who sponsored the walk died along the way. And his widow said to us, "I have an empty house, why don't you come and live there?" And we said, "Yes, thank you," and we did. And what happened was a repeat of history. Is my Scottish ancestors, who came to Canada, were welcomed by Mi'kmaq people, and if it weren't for the Mi'kmaq people, they wouldn't have survived. And then you look forward 500 years, 600 years, here's another Scottish descendant. The same story. My wife and my child and I survived because of Mi'kmaq people's hospitality. And what else can I do but to honor the people that I've been hosted by? I'm here in Mi'kma'ki, the land of the Mi'kmaq, and I want to say thank you.
Natalie, you're originally from Burnt Church?
I'm originally from Fredericton. My native family is on the Burnt Church Eel Ground Red Bank Reserve. It's known as the Metapanagia First Nation. There's probably about three or four different reserves in that one little area.
What kind of issues do you want to bring to light today on Indigenous Solidarity Day?
Really, like water. XL pipeline, tar sands, fracking. Water all over the country. It's becoming more and more scarce, and for some reason, corporations don't give a crap that they're destroying their own children's futures.
What kind of future do you hope to live for your kids?
In all honesty, I never thought that I would have kids. I never wanted to have kids because I'm terrified of my future, let alone his future. What do I hope to accomplish? I really hope this Occupy thing just really starts to go full force and we really, really, really start targeting environmental issues. Because, yeah, you know, like, I know corporate greed and all that's tied into it, but when it comes down to it, it's all about the environment, and I want a clean earth for my child. I don't think that I'm going to get it. We're a little too far gone, but, I mean, what I want for my child and anyone else's child is clean water, land that we can grow our actual food in, because our soil is getting great.
Billy Lewis, there is a history of solidarity between Attawapiskat and Halifax and Nova Scotia. Can you talk about that for a minute or two?
Yeah, a couple of years ago when we got a call, I can't remember exactly how it started, but it was to do with Attawapiskat and some people at Millbrook and Shubby, and we just started raising supplies. We heard there were like 100 elders living in tents and or not having any place, depending on, and so we realized that the wool blankets, the clothing, the heaters, food and stuff like that. So we had to arrange with a trucking outfit. So we wound up getting a truck from here and went all the way right up to there, and then it had to get transported from Timmins into Attawapiskat. But it took a while, but we arranged. We had like hundreds of pounds of clothing and heaters and everything, the same kind of stuff as now, and that was 2 years ago. And we made a decision at that time too, and it's probably important to note it, that because some people on the Attawapiskat were concerned about some of the people on the band council, so we decided we were not going to do it through the band council. We deliberately made that choice, and we did it through the relatives of the young woman that later died in a car accident, Shannon, the Shannon's Dream. So her auntie, her mom, and all that stuff, we sent the supplies to them, and then they distributed it at a grassroots level. And now, here 2 years later, it turns out that the audits have been done, and I haven't seen it yet, so I can't speak to it. But obviously somebody, I don't think they took $92 million. Anyway, it's the same situation now. Now that it's under trusteeship, I think that will expose some of the inadequacies, but then this government will use it to justify the more and more control over the band councils and the indigenous people in the name of accountability. Well, when it comes to accountability, I think that the conservative government has to be accountable. This is the most centralized government that we've ever had, and if anything needs a third-party management, it's them.
Now, do you see this as an endemic problem in the reserve system? Like, I mean, we don't need to go to Attawapiskat. We can go up the road and see some problems here.
Yeah. Yeah, we can. But what I'm concerned about is how governments can use those limitations and things which they create. It's a result of colonialism. That's where it comes from. And so then they use that to justify further and further control. And I don't care whether it's the Indian Act or some other third thing, management or what have you. It's just another way of controlling people instead of allowing them to determine their own lives. And I think what has to happen is there has to be more awareness within the indigenous communities to take charge, because we shouldn't have to rely on Harper to straighten up what might or might not be wrong at Attawapiskat. It's up to the people of Attawapiskat, you know. And I say the same thing down here. Get up off our ass at the grassroots level, raise hell with your leaders, and if you don't like them, throw the buggers out.